Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Last time I was up here was to get married. I'm not so sure I'm not more nervous this time. So. Since I haven't had the chance to really sit down with many of you, I thought it would be good to share a little bit about my story, how God brought me to Michigan, and how he brought me to First Baptist of Newaygo. So I guess I grew up in South Dakota. I grew up in a pastor's family out there in South Dakota. We grew up out in the country. We lived like 25 miles from the nearest town, and it wasn't a big town at all. So I grew up in a very country or rural setting. Growing up in the Christian family was great. I heard the gospel at a young age, and I'm thankful for that. Once I went to Bible college, though, I really felt God get a hold of my heart. And so going through high school, I'm thankful to have the heritage that I had going through church and Sunday school and all of that. But going to Frontier School of the Bible really made a big impact on my life. And so I'm really grateful for that time that I spent in Bible school. There has always been something in my heart to draw me towards missions. We would have missionaries come to our house from time to time when I was a child, and we always really enjoyed that, and I always had a soft spot in my heart for that. When I went to Frontier, again, I was always interested in that. We'd get together once a week and pray for missionaries there, missionaries that had graduated from the school, and it was always an important time for me. And so, once again, I just wanted to be a part of that in some way and wasn't sure what God would do to lead me into missions. So I graduated from Bible college. I did an internship there at Frontier with Mr. Hughesby. That's Pam and George's brother-in-law, and that was great. During that year of that internship, I got to know a guy named Joe Gerwig, and we became really good friends. He was interested in dating my sister, but at that time, she wasn't interested in him. So over the course of time, God worked, and then my sister and Joe got married in 2015. But during that time, he was an airplane mechanic and pilot, even though he was a young man, and he had the goal of using it for missionary aviation. And he was always trying to talk me into looking into that side of things, see if I could see myself fit into that ministry. And I was always like, no, I don't think so. I don't see myself doing that at all. Alaska is kind of a long ways away, and South Dakota is out enough in the wild for me, so I wasn't interested in going up to Alaska. So after that, I did an internship with Friends of Israel Gospel Ministries. I'd gone on a couple trips to Israel, and that was really good for me. And so then I did this internship in Las Vegas, reaching out to the Jewish community, and it was really good. It really gave me a good foundation, and I was seeking the Lord there to see if that would be a mission field for me, working with the Jewish community. And at that time, I just didn't sense the Lord leading me to do that ministry. And so then from there, I went up to Montana. I have a sister that lives out in Montana, and I just needed a time to get away to see how God was going to use my life and just work with my hands and just kind of get my focus back in check. And so I worked out there in Montana for a couple of years, did many different things, but was involved at a church out there, and God really used that time in my life to just kind of get my focus where it needed to be, and I'm really grateful for that. So then in August of 2017, I went up to Alaska to visit my sister and brother-in-law, and I was up there. I was expecting them to be like, hey, you should come and join the ministry up here, and I kind of had my brakes on, and I was expecting that, but nobody said anything about me going and being a part of that ministry. But then as the couple of weeks went on, I felt the Lord leading me to pursue missionary aviation in some way. And so sitting in their cabin up there in Alaska, I looked up the School of Missionary Aviation Technology located in Ionia, Michigan. And at that point, I noticed, you know, Michigan's kind of been something that I've always kind of been interested in. I don't know what it is, shape of the mitten, I don't know what it is, but something about Michigan always kind of intrigued me. And I had lots of friends from Bible college that were here in Michigan, so I thought, you know, I'd like living in Michigan. And so from that point in Alaska, I decided that I was gonna come out here to Michigan to learn to be an airplane mechanic. And so I went back to Montana, sold all of my belongings, sold the house and a car wash that I had acquired, and made my way to Michigan. I was only planning to be here for 1 year and head up to Alaska after that. And then the Lord opened the door for me to work at SMAT. And so I've been working there for just over a year now at School of Missionary Aviation Technology. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to be here in Michigan, I'd better check out my options. I'm getting old. I need to find a wife. And the Lord had made it so that Anna and I could meet each other. And we met through Anna's sister and brother-in-law, and they kind of set us up. And I met Anna right after I came out here, but because I was only going to be here for 1 year, I wasn't going to get caught up in a Michigan girl. And so here I was here in Michigan, and found Anna and fell in love with her, and I'm so thankful for her. And what a gift God has given me. And coming here to First Baptist of Nuevo the first time was a very special time, because I could see that all of you here just really loved and cherished her. And that just really meant a lot to me. So that is kind of my story in a nutshell. Man, I cried the last time I was up here too. But, so anyway, I want to share with you all tonight from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I guess this passage was laid on my heart a while back as something that I would like to share with all of you here at First Baptist of Nuevo. Growing up, my dad was a pastor, and it seemed like he could just sit down in his easy chair and read a passage of scripture and then take a nap, and voila, you had a sermon all prepared for Sunday. So I'm going to try to get that gift eventually. But so I'd like to read from verse 9 to the end of the chapter of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it says, "Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I'd like to take a moment for prayer. Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity to look at these scriptures and draw out a few things that we can apply to our lives and apply to ministry and missions around the world. Lord, I pray for this conference this weekend that you will be glorified and that your name will be lifted up and that your gospel will be proclaimed. And I thank you for First Baptist of Newaygo and the global impact that they're making around the world. And I just pray that you'll continue to use them in this way. And thank you and praise you in Jesus' name, amen. So my desire tonight is to just kind of go verse by verse through this passage. We sometimes get caught up in so many different things, whether it's what a church does or how they work. Oftentimes we forget the point of what church is about, and it's about making disciples, sharing the gospel, and just living in a way so that you're not just nestled here, just kind of being all by yourselves, but you're going out near and far, and you're sharing the gospel with people. So in verse 9 it says, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well-known to God, and I also trust are well-known in your consciences. I believe that the judgment that I was talking about here is the judgment of the judgment seat of Christ. It's not something that everybody goes through. It's something for believers. It's not something that we go to, that we will go to and lose our salvation or be cast into hell, but it is a time when we will be judged according to what we have done on this earth as believers and as followers of Jesus Christ. And so we know that the church will be raptured up, and shortly after, we'll face this judgment seat of Christ. Oftentimes that's a fearful thing. It's something that we wonder, well, what is it going to be like? And it says here that it's not going to be a pleasant time. And, we want to look at life and think that everything with Christ is love, love, love. And we want to think that getting to this point will be hunky-dory, but we know that Jesus Christ is a powerful God, and we will answer to him for every motive that we've had. And that's a scary thing for me at times, because sometimes my motives are to please Levi or to look good or just to do it out of duty, and that's not pleasing to Christ. So I think what Paul is saying here is that when we go before Christ and we'll have the works that we've done for him, all of it is done as believers, but we'll be judged on whether or not we did those works out of faith or whether we did them out of just our own ambition. And We all know that God uses everything, but it's a fearful thing to, you know, to think about standing before God and looking at Him and seeing how wonderful He is, and then realize that we could have done so much more, and we could have had so much more faith and used so many more of the talents that He gave to us. And so often we just don't do that. I think at that time we're going to be amazed at the wonder of Christ. And I don't think we will necessarily just focus on ourselves, but we will see His wonder and His power, and we will realize what we missed out on when we were not serving Him the way we should have been. Were we focusing on ourselves when we were working at the church? Were we sharing the gospel with the people that we should have been sharing the gospel with? Were we afraid of men? Just so many things that we don't think about that we will have to answer to. Sometimes we forget the most important things of our life. You know, we've been given church family, we've been given families of our own, wives and children, and I think that is our number one ministry. And so I think we'll answer to God for those things as well. Did we treat our wife and family the way we needed to treat them? Did we care for them? Did we keep things balanced? And so I just want to challenge all of you to keep that in mind as we serve the Lord. We know that God's grace is wonderful, and we know that He has His Holy Spirit in our life, just nudging us along, keeping us on track, and we're thankful for that. But I just want to challenge you to question your motives and just really seek God as you question the work that you're doing. I'd like to read verses 12. It says, "For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart." So what was going on here was Paul was being ridiculed by people at the Corinthian church. And so he was in a way trying to share his heart, share that he was genuine. And as a result, he was showing that oftentimes we just don't see things the way God sees them. Before Paul was a believer, he was pretty much a madman, but it was because he didn't see the spiritual side of things. And so Paul was trying to, you know, tell the people that before he came to Christ, he was mad, not after he came to Christ, like many had thought of him. There was an excerpt from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. It says, "Finally, we must ignore the criticisms of men. Paul's enemies said he was crazy. Paul said that he was mad when he was persecuting the church, but his enemies said he was mad since he had become a believer himself. But people said that our Lord was mad, so Paul was in good company. If I am mad, Paul was saying, it is for your good and the glory of God's, so that makes it worthwhile." And my thoughts on this passage is to really, again, question who we are on the inside. If we're serving Christ and if our relationship is where it should be, then the world is going to see it as something totally different. We serve God out of purity of heart, not out of our acts of service that may or may not be holy. We don't want to be whitewashed tombs, as Christ said of the Pharisees. And, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in the many good things that we do and yet lose sight of what the true meaning of service is to God. Verse 13 through 15 say, "For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." The word compels is translated from a word meaning to hold together, to hold fast. It even denotes being seized by an illness or afflicted and controlled, covered, crowding, devoting completely, just many of ways that it's been translated. So it's something that just completely changes a person from the inside out and keeps you on the path that you're going. For the love of Christ compels us. How many times can we say that we do the things that we do because of the love of Christ and the impact that it has on our life? There's also this side of things where is it talking about the love that we have for Christ or the love that Christ has for us? And, you know, I think that it points to the love that Christ has for us, knowing that he loved us first. We love because he first loved us. And it's just an amazing thing to get a hold of that and to apply that to your life and let it change you. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. So before Paul became a follower of Christ, he hated Christ. He was looking at Christ through his own fleshly way. But Paul was reconciled unto Christ, and from that point on, Paul saw Christ in a different way, more than just a man. And it's kind of like the people there at Corinth were then becoming, they were looking at Paul in a fleshly way rather than the spiritual way. And here it's calling us to look at everyone in a spiritual way. Look at Christ for who he is, God, and just the implications of what his life had for us. But also, look at the people around us as spiritual beings on their way to an eternity. And whether it's heaven or hell, these people are already eternal beings, and we need to see them that way. We need to see it from the spiritual side. And we need to think about what God wants us to do to see how we can share the gospel with these people, to see how we can be used to get these people from one eternal destiny to the other. So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm thankful for the new creation that God has given to me. You know, it doesn't mean I'm perfect, or it doesn't mean we're going to be completely sinless, but we are on a new path. We are new creations in him, and it's an amazing thing to wake up in the morning and know that you have a purpose and that God has made you new. Verse 18 says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." The ministry of reconciliation, I'm sure many of you know what it is, but what it is we are enemies of God, and through Jesus Christ, we are given the opportunity to become, in one way, in one sense, a friend of God, we take on his gift of salvation through faith and what his son, Jesus Christ, has done for us, and we become friends with God. Verse 19 says, that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So I really enjoyed seeing the video that you had just sharing, and just the wonder of all the people coming before you and you sharing the ministry of reconciliation with them, sharing how they can become friends of God. They can have an eternity of life instead of death. And it's an amazing thing to see that. It's in so many ways a mystery, but we are so thankful for it and grateful for what God is doing. So now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So, each of us here who belong to Christ are his ambassadors, and as Paul was saying, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I just want to challenge all of us here to think about what we need to do, you know, here at First Baptist of Newaygo, throughout the world. How can we be his ambassadors, imploring people to become reconciled to God? How can we share from verse 21 how he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him? And it's a beautiful thing to think about what God has done for us. So anyway, Anna and I would like to just be used by God in some way to use our hands to share this message with the world. And the Lord has given me a desire to be used in missionary aviation. He's saying yes to him in that way was, I felt, saying yes to God. And so we plan to move up to Alaska in about a year and use the skills that God's given me to work on airplanes so that they can be, those airplanes can be used to train missionary pilots and can be used to provide transportation for missionary pastors in Alaska and Russia and Thailand, and to use those airplanes to train nationals to come to the U.S. and to learn how to use the airplane as a tool for their ministry. And so, you know, we're weak, we're feeble people, we're nothing special, but we want to be used by God, we want to be humble and servant-hearted, and share our lives in a way that we can be used to share this message of Christ's love that changes people's lives. And I guess that's all we have for you tonight. Thank you for your time, and I just pray that we will continue to keep a relationship with you guys going, and if you have any questions or anything, feel free to stop by our table and just ask what's going on and how you can be praying for us. And so thank you very much.